Hello, and welcome to Medical Musings with Dr. Joanne, here at 88.5 KRFY, Community Radio for North Idaho. I am Dr. Joanne, and I hope you'll enjoy the medical topics that I've chosen to present at 8 a.m. the first Monday of every month. You can also catch the show at 8 a.m. on the third Monday, and if you enjoy podcasts, you can listen to a podcast of the show at krfy.org. My guests today are Dr. Becky Meyer, Superintendent of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District, and Joshua Barnes, Licensed Clinical Social Worker of Kinnick-Sioux Community Health, who will help me highlight October as Bully Prevention Month. Initially, a week in October was designated for Bully Prevention Month in 2006, and then was extended to the whole month in 2011. A National Day for Unity held each year on the third or fourth Wednesday in October will be October 15th this year. The day features bully prevention awareness and encourages students to get involved in planning and implementing the day's activities. The purpose of this campaign in general is to unite for kindness, courage, and inclusion to prevent students from being bullied. I chose this topic as a way to feature children's mental health, enhancing their self-esteem and self-reliance. I'd like to recognize Susie Perez, one of the hosts of the KRFY Morning Show, and I call her my executive producer. Hi, Susie.
Good morning, Dr. Joanne, and thanks for hosting Medical Musing. You know, I wanted to let the listeners know a little bit about you. You're a longtime KRFY volunteer, previously hosting segments of Otto's Eclectic Mix, now hosting Medical Musing the first and third Monday of the month at 8 a.m. You're a retired pediatrician who has lived in Sandpoint since 2010. You also previously worked at the pediatric practice in Columbus, Ohio for over 30 years and then covered the Sandpoint Pediatrics. As the medical spokesperson for the Ohio chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, you contributed to print, online media, radio, and television. You're also a mother of four children, and we're fortunate to have you part of our Monday morning local programming.
Thank you, Susie. Dr. Becky Meyer is here with me to discuss programs that the Lake Pend'Oreille School District utilizes to focus on the social, emotional development of their students. I know that many of our listeners know you, but please tell the audience a bit about yourself.
Well, I started here in 1993, and I worked in the school district as a counselor. Byron Lewis, who's since passed away, I love that man, from Clark Fork, he hired me, what we used to call Voc Ed, but now it's career technical education. He hired me as a career and college counselor way back when, and we were with Wes Bonner as well. So Priest River was here, and it was a big district. I went to every school in the district my first year, and then I was a counselor, Southside Elementary, Priest Lake Elementary, and Priest River Lamana High School. Then I went to Sandpoint High School. Then I was Lake Pend'Oreille Alternative High School principal. Then I was the Sandpoint High School principal. Then I was the assistant soup for a couple of years when Sean Woodward was the superintendent. And then he encouraged me to apply for an open superintendent position in Lakeland. I got it, which I was not expecting. And then I was there for 6 years, and then this is my fourth year back here as the superintendent of the Lake Pend'Oreille School District. So lots of fun things over the years.
That's quite a varied career in 32 years. Wow. Great experience. There are several programs in the district that interface well with bully prevention efforts. They include One Trusted Adult, the Zones of Regulation program, and the wonderful work of the guidance counselors in our schools. These programs focus on the mental health of our school population and the personnel that teach them. Since one element of bully prevention is to speak up, encouraging those who are bullied to tell a responsible adult, the One Trusted Adult program is a wonderful way for students to be comfortable speaking to an adult when they need to report bullying. As I read, the One Trusted Adult program is on a mission to ensure that every young person on this planet can name at least one trained, motivated, and committed trusted adult at home and at school. This program really builds relationships between students and adults. So, Dr. Meyer, how and when did the district implement this program?
Well, a few years ago, every year I have a theme, and 2 years ago we had the theme, let's really work on, and it had to do with school safety, which in part is part of bullying as well. As you know, acts of violence across the country, unfortunately, have risen, and often the perpetrator will say that it stemmed from bullying, so that there is a great connection to us wanting to make sure to alleviate as much bullying as possible, not only for each individual student and the families, but also to keep our schools safe. So a couple of years ago, I rolled out the program One Trusted Adult and said, let's work to really increase the number of connections with students and adults. As a side note, student connection is one of our pillars of our strategic plan. So it's one of the main focuses. Wonderful. So we ran out that and everyone did a baseline. They surveyed the students. Can you name one trusted adult? And it was pretty low, you know, in the 60s. And so we really worked the entire year on how do you build relationships with kids, connections, and how do we work to be able to identify which students need to build that connection. And it's great if they have friends, and it's great if they can tell their friends things, but research proves that if you have an adult, then the follow-through happens. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they don't have an adult, and they just tell a student, they listen and they can vent, but it doesn't really have any follow-up mm-hmm. that helps to mediate the issues. So in this case, we did a lot of work that first year, again working last year, and I can happily say at the end of last year, we just did a report to the school board, and 99.3% was our percentage at the end of the year of students K through 12 in our school district who had one trusted adult that they felt that they could connect with, identify with, and talk to.
That's truly wonderful. Do the counselors and teachers, or the teachers, counselors, and then the students get a refresher each year? And then how are new students integrated into the program?
Oh, great question. And it is every single, I do want to point out also, it could be the custodian. There is our campus security officers. A lot of them are identified. Several bus drivers. You know, they're the first ones to pick up those little kiddos in the morning and ask them how their day was and really build a connection. So there's any employee in the entire school district can be identified. And of course, their parents always typically are their one trusted adult, but we want to be able to identify somebody at school as well. So I just wanted to be able to point out, I don't want to diminish the fact that parents are really their first connection. But we do every year, the counselors, we have an amazing counseling department, as you said earlier, K through 12. It's just amazing what they do for our kids. And what I really like about the department is proactively, they really focus on what can we do to build the skills and what we call the protective factors, building resiliency and social skills, social awareness, all of that. How do they build that for students? So as they go up through life, they have those skills to be able to bond with people and also resiliency to make it through some of the hurdles that will happen. Those counselors really work to provide the skills for the kids, but then also training for the adults so that they know if it doesn't come naturally to them how to build these connections, they are the ones that can help with that as well.
So the student and the adults aren't assigned, really. They sort of gravitate to each other.
Definitely not. The whole purpose of this one trusted adult is that they can self-identify. It doesn't have to be their classroom teacher. It doesn't have to be, you know, their counselor. It doesn't have to be their, you know, a specific person. They get to identify. And the beauty of it is this is the person that then we as a school know who are they identifying, how, and that person then, whether it's the custodian, the admin assistant, the librarian, a parapro, a different teacher, anybody in that school then knows, oh, this student sees me as their trusted adult. They start to ask them questions and, you know, oh, how was your weekend? How was your soccer game? How was the play that you were in? What did you guys do for? And so they start to be able to just really, you know, keep that blossoming up so that they even build a deeper connection.
So do you do a training session like in the summer, in August before school starts, when you have a new program like this? Or
No.
Or throughout the year?
Yeah, throughout the year. And then also just to go back to one thing, when you have new staff, how do you integrate them into the fold and make sure they understand it? We have every year back from when I was a principal, way back when in 2001 at Lake Ponderay High School, I always have run a mentee program, which means it's teachers and staff that are new to the profession, mm-hmm. either new teachers or new to our district. And I've run it every year since then. At every building or district I've been at, I just feel like it's really important to create an opportunity for new people to understand your culture and your climate, what's important, what's the focus of that school or district, and just helping them build the skills in their toolbox. And you know, as a pediatrician, that you just need to have so many options that you can reach in and pick for. And so this mentee team meeting, we have it every month for the entire school year. So every year, all the new staff that are going to be working with students come to a mentee team meeting. This is where we teach them, how do you connect with kids? How do you increase the opportunity for you to get to know students on a personal level, build that relationship, build the trust foundation for them to be able to be the one trusted adult?
I was interested when you said janitors and the bus, and because so many episodes of bullying can be on a bus, mm-hmm. or in the basement of the school, or my son used to forget to bring his homework home, and we would always have to bang on the windows or the door, and became very good friends with the janitor, mm-hmm. because that was the way we could get into the school
right.
after school.
Yeah. The custodians are around, in my experience, for years and years, the custodians have been around, and they just start to make friends with some of the students that just feel isolated, or they maybe aren't in with a big crowd. And I've had a lot of successful relationships seen between custodians and students that needed to connect with somebody.
I can see that. That's a great opportunity. Susie, do you have any comments?
Well, I was just thinking, how do you communicate this whole program to the parents, the students, the teachers, the adults in the school community so that everyone's on board and knows about it? And then how do you monitor? I mean, how do you do training for the one trusted adult people and what they would be looking for? Just, the furthering of it.
Yeah. Well, the way that we advertise it is we send it home. We did when it first rolled out a couple of years ago, I rolled it out and talked to the staff at the August Welcome Back assembly, or I guess it's not an assembly, just the meeting, and every staff member in the entire district comes. So I rolled it out as, this is our focus this year. So there were several, every single month there's tidbits going out, try this, do this. And it really is not, keeping it super simple, mm-hmm. it's not about teaching them counseling skills, just classroom teachers or custodians or bus drivers or any of these other employees. It's not meant to add on an additional layer of, you have to learn this. It's meant to add on, like, recognize when a student's trying to make a connection with you. Recognize when a student looks like they're by themselves, or they're looking different than they do normally. Like, are they looking like they're depressed or lonely, or they're not looking the same as they normally do? Like, oh, this student usually is chipper, and now it looks like they're sad. Like, what's going on? And just recognizing the humanness of each person and trying to make those connections really be the most important thing we do. So yes, we have the curriculum, and yes, we need to clean the school, and yes, we need, we need to get all the information in the computer when you're at the front desk, but stopping and pausing and really thinking, making this connection and being connected with students and making sure they feel connected to the school and each other has to be our most important thing. It really does.
And the program itself has been research-based, I've read, and mm-hmm. it has professional development trainings and then advisory curriculum. And do the students do any of the leadership course piece with that? Or?
Well, each school has a leadership team. They call it different things, student council, student leadership. Sometimes it's you know, the student ambassadors at some. So each school has it differently, and those students obviously know what this is. Susie asked, how do we advertise it and keep the parents and the community in the know? Well, I report 3 times a year to the school board, and so that's a public record. And then that goes on to the website where they can see my superintendent report. And it has fall, winter, and spring. And we just survey the students. This last year, we just mandated a fall. So beginning of the year baseline, and then end of the year, how did we end up? A few schools did continue with the mid-year, but it is a pretty big undertaking to survey every single student. Something that I think is important to note, and then we let families know in the loop. We send it home and say, hey, this is what our one trusted adult program is. I report it out to the staff and to the school board, and so it becomes public knowledge, and then hopefully everyone knows what a great job we did. But one thing I do want to highlight, staff are really take this to heart. After the fall, and we take our baseline survey to say, hey, how many students are not able to identify a trusted adult? The staff really does a tremendous job at working at, and each school does it differently. These students really need to be able to make a connection with an adult, and we go out of our way to make sure that those students feel like they're in the fold and they're part of the school community. And each school does that differently, but that's why our number by the end of the year, 99.3, is amazing. And that could include students that had just moved in that hadn't even had a chance to build up a relationship. So we're just really pleased and happy that we're able to provide that connection for that many students every year.
Wow, that's wonderful. Let's focus on the new program then at Lake Pendere School District, the zones of regulation that you're implementing this school year. Again, I read that it's an empowering instructional tool to build safe, supportive environments that foster learning and well-being for all. How are you integrating this program into the school district?
Well, I wrote a PAFE grant, a big shout out and thank you to PAFE. I wrote a very large, what's called a strategic initiative grant for PAFE, and I was granted it, so I'm very thankful for that. And that is to really look at what student behavior and how, again, do we connect with kids and help students to identify their behavior, learn better self-regulation, better empathy, and help to make those connections again for our school district, which then helps in the classroom so that all the students can focus on learning. So you talk about this being, you know, Bullying Awareness Month. This really helps once we work with the zones of regulation, because students are able to identify in this program, which PAFE has funded, a behavior specialist for the district, the curriculum for every single school, and we're going to do training for leadership teams at the elementary schools. It really identifies, just to give you a little more specific about zones of regulation, there's 4 zones. There's the blue zone, yellow zone, red zone, green zone. And it really looks at what are the emotions and the feelings that they have in each of these zones? What's the energy level? And how can the student identify which zone they're in? Identify what triggered them? You know, if they're in the red zone, what triggered you to feel, you know, panicked or angry or frustrated or terrified or just this really red? It's high energy, high emotion. And where do they want to be? And what zone do they want to be? And what strategies can they have to self-regulate and be able to calm themselves down, talk it through with somebody, you know, an adult? And this program is really going to help us to have common language throughout the entire school district. So that, and several schools already use the program, but it's maybe not at every single school that we need it to be at. And every single adult, staff person, employee doesn't have the same language. So it's really going to help with us as a school district to have that common language.
And if children are more aware of themselves and are calmer, then they can learn better too.
They can learn better. And you hear, the elementary think tank that I work with, and that's a group of teachers from all schools in the elementaries, and they identify and talk to their peers, and they're really out of the box thinkers. They're ones that say, how can we address this problem in a new way? They I have an elementary and a secondary think tank that I work with throughout the year. And it's really to help. I don't have all the answers. I don't think any one person does, but with a lot of brains that think differently and different perspectives, they said last year, really for the last couple of years, our number one issue that elementary staff is identifying is behaviors, student behaviors that become a little bit out of control or distractive from other people in the classroom. And we don't want to keep sending students out, sending kids home. I have a philosophy of as least amount of out-of-school suspensions as possible because we are an educational institution. That means our job is to teach students. They are supposed to be learning, whether it's behavior, academics, you know, social, emotional connection. All of that needs to be stuff that we teach during the day. So if a student has a misbehavior and we send them home, that is not going to help us teach behavior for the next time. So we have a very, very low incident of out-of-school suspensions compared to the rest of the state. And that's because we really take our job seriously of teaching the student how to identify. And this zones of regulation will help. What triggered you? What zone are you in? How do you label what you're feeling right now? What emotion do you have? What is, you know, your reaction, and how can we then calm you down, center you again so that you can be in a spot where you can get along with your peers, you know, if we need to fill, you know, mediate an issue, and also be in a spot where you can learn again and your brain is open to learning. Mm-hmm. We as adults know if you're in, you know, frustration or you're angry or you're hyped up or you're over anxious or even overjoyed or elated at too high of an energy level, you can't be in a spot where you learn. We need students in that spot. And we as adults have to sometimes help students to realize how to get to that spot.
Basically, over the last 5 years, I guess since the pandemic, over 80% of U.S. schools reported in 2022 on the negative impact of the pandemic on child well-being and self-regulations. So kids seem to be struggling more to manage their feelings and mental health and are more disruptive necessarily. And when they need additional social, emotional, and behavioral support, it's wonderful that you've instituted both these programs, basically. How did the children actually learn to manage their feelings?
Well, this zones of regulation training is all about how do we remove the student. It could be in the back of the classroom. By the end of this year, several staff have calming corners, what they call calming corners. It's just a place to, you know, take a pause, reset, identify what your emotion is, what zone you're in, and then how to self-regulate. What strategies can we use? There could be little manipulatives, fidgets. There could be little squishy balls. There could be where you stand on and there's a little stair-stepper thing. There's all sorts. Some people just read a book. Taking deep breaths. There's lots of strategies that this program comes with and that the counselors have. And really just be able to, the starting point for us is to be able to have students self-identify, self-regulate. And then once there's repetition and they learn this, then they're able to, you know, with the help of adult from the beginning, and then they're able to complete this process their own, to where I've seen it successful where students actually give themselves time in the calming corner. They recenter themselves. They are able to identify. They look at the wall. What are the strategies I use? And then they back themselves down to a spot where they're ready to learn again. They go back into the classroom. Sometimes they have to go out of the classroom, could be to the zones of regulation room, could be a reset room. Farman Sidwell calls it the pause room because that's their acronym. So it's whatever they need in the beginning. And then eventually it goes to where they can do that in the classroom. And then like we as adults, you know, healthy, centered, balanced adults can do that even when you're sitting in the same spot and you're in a really tough situation and you're
a few deep breaths.
Internally, you're doing tapping or you're doing your deep breathing or you're getting yourself into your positive affirmations and you're visualizing that positive outcome. All of these strategies as adults we can do in the moment where we're at. And that's what I want for our students. I want our students, wherever they are right now on this continuum, how do we teach them where they're at and then keep moving them toward a healthy, really balanced, where they can are more in tune with themselves and their emotions. I mean, I truly believe that's going to build the empathy, Dr. Joanne, in our district, which will then, to your point, decrease bullying and harassment.
So do they get like the charts or the zones of regulation being blue, yellow, red, and green? I'm imagining some little chart goes home so that the child can talk to their parents about what they're learning then.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have a push where we're doing some parent awareness and a parent awareness where we'll do an activity where the parents can come in and learn more about it. And again, thank you to PAFE. I can't thank them enough for this huge grant that they gave us for us to instill this program. It's really going to help us as a school district. We'll send it to parents, but also to your point, these are in the calming corner. So mm-hmm. students become familiar. These are in the reset room or the pause room or the zones of regulation room. These are ones where teachers really know and can identify for students because they can help them talk through it. Our recess duties, all of our custodians, our bus drivers, like I talked about, everyone in the school district will be able to identify this and be able to do some activity where they themselves can be able to talk it through with students so that they're familiar with it. And we have just this common language, common way of approaching kids. And our common goal is to get students as calm as possible back into the teaching and learning brain, and they're back in the classroom as quick as possible.
Sounds like we should send all of our children and grandchildren to the Lake Pondere School District.
Well, I am a little biased, but I would say yes.
I was just thinking when you're talking about teaching, the teachers have to learn a lot about this mm-hmm. and buy into it. And I know they do because it's really going to be helpful. But young children in the elementary, even kindergarten, first grade, that's really where to start. Yeah. And you don't start with the cognitive. Maybe it's stories. Maybe there's puppets. Maybe that it's through play that they learn to self-regulate and notice in themselves when things are spinning out and I don't feel comfortable. I'm going to tell my teacher, I need help. I need the blue room or whatever, yes. the corner to relax. So yeah. It's different throughout the district. So the training is comprehensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you brought in the play and also with puppets or a story or something where it's the focus is off of the student for a second. It helps them to calm down when they don't feel like they're getting blamed or that they're in trouble. And then you teach them through those other opportunities, and then they start to identify and self-identify for themselves, and that helps us just be more in tune with ourselves as well.
That's interesting, because one of the bully prevention websites I was looking at has a whole program for kids and then a different one for teens, and in both of them they have either play acting or puppets or to act out the roles of being a victim or being a bully.
And to see themselves in a story.
Yep.
You know, am I the hero? Am I the helper? Am I the person that needs a little support?
And the counselors are just, the elementary counselors especially, they're just phenomenal at this. They know art therapy, play therapy, connection with young kids. They just have that skill, which is probably why they're an elementary counselor. And our new district behavior specialist is going to be Summer Tigert, and she was a principal at Kootenai, where we have our elementary behavior program, which is called Beacon. So she's super familiar with that. She also was an SEC teacher, which means Services for Exceptional Children. We used to call it, you know, special education, but we don't call it that anymore. So she really has worked with a lot of students with behavior and disabilities and ones, you know, just that. She understands this entire program. She's going to be setting up the system throughout the entire district, along with Michelle Blumenberg, who is going to be in charge of our PBIS, Positive Behavior and Interventions and Supports. That is a state program. The state pays for our training for that. And this is going to be several years this has been in our district, but we really just amped it up in the last couple of years. We have elementary schools that are in Tier 2 and Tier 3 years of training. Our middle school, Sandpoint Middle School, started it last year. And so this, in combination with the zones of regulation and just district behavior support with one trusted adult, all ties together nicely, really to support our staff and our students to really address the entire child and everything, teaching and learning, student well-being, everything.
Yeah, your guidance counselors are very well trained in these different programs, so I can see that they can support the children, the youth, in exceptional ways. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Meyer, for contributing your program and your expertise. These programs are so helpful for all students, and the entire Lake Pendere School District is so fortunate to have these mental health curricula available to them.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Joanne.
I really enjoyed meeting you.
You too.